few passages from the book of Galatians. In the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, there's always that possibility. As long as we're flesh and blood, we can be overtaken, and we're admonished by the Lord from the Word, through the Word, that we are to be careful, and in everything give thanks. And be alert and be watchful that the enemy, the chief enemy of God and the chief enemy of man, is the devil. And he is going about seeking whom he may devour. And he'd like to overcome us with a fault. He'd like to get us in a state where we're full of fretfulness and doubt and despair, and get us real anxious, and try to destroy us. If he could, we know he can't. We know he can't do it. He's, I told you the other day, he's God's devil, and he's on a string. He can only go so far. But anyhow, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, ye which are spiritual, ye which have not been overcome with a fault. Ye that have some understanding. I remember one place in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, is there not a wise man among you? You know, some of their brethren done some things that wasn't necessarily right, I guess, and they attempted to take others before the law. They're going to have their case be brought up before civil government of some sort, and Paul said, "Why, none of you, no wise men among you, that you can't settle your own disputes without taking a brother before the law and settle a dispute before these ungodly people? Wise men, we got some wise men here. God has made them wise. They're wise in the things of God." Spirit of God has taught them some things, and they're wise men. God has made them so. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Try to show him the error of his ways. Be tender, like a nurse wrapping a bandage around your arm or something. Just be tender. Restore such one in the spirit of meekness, not thinking yourself to be something when you're nobody. In the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Just remember that you're still flesh and blood, and you can be overcome. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something, and all of us do on occasion. Isn't that right? On occasion we get all puffed up on somebody when we're nobody. If a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he's nothing. That's hard on us, though, isn't it? Nothing. You're nothing. Well, he just deceives himself when he thinks he's somebody and he's nothing. He deceives himself. You remember over there in the book of 1 Corinthians where it says, who hath made thee to differ? Who? Well, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth. in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a consequence to everything we do. Result of. Things happen, they're the result of. They're the consequence. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. Get tired. Say, what's the use? What's the use? Talking to a fellow the other day, a preacher. He's coming on. He said, what's the use? He said, I can't see any change in these people. He said, there's no one new ever comes. He said, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I said, hang in there. It'll come. You may never live to see it come, but it'll come. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, as God gives us opportunities, as God opens up the door and makes the way, let us do good unto all men. That is all flesh. But especially and particularly unto them who are the household of faith, those of the family, the little children, the weak and feeble ones, God's people, members of His kingdom, especially unto them. I'll quit there. Turn with me to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. This seems to be a psalm of David, and in this psalm he expresses his prayer unto God and asks Him to help him or deliver him from the snare of the fowler, from the enemy, that they might not do him in. It's a prayer of safety. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear, from fear of the enemy. It's a terrible thing to be afraid. And it's sometimes it's worse than the enemy itself. It's the fear of the enemy, the fear of something. So afraid. Deliver me from that fear. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Their arrows are bitter words. May shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot him and fear not. He wants to be delivered from the fear of these people. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. That is, in their talk, in their language, in their speech. They commune of laying snares, set up traps. Privately, they say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. That is, they're very thorough. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, turn that thing around. And all that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of His doing. And he concludes this hymn, this song of praise by way of prayer, and said, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I ask you this question in light of verse 10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. In what way is a man made righteous before the Lord? The righteous shall be glad in the Lord, shall trust Him, and all the upright in heart glory. That's the question. In what way is a man made righteous before God? In what way? How can a man be righteous before God? Well, I'll tell you this much. He is not made so by his works. He's not made righteous by his works. He's not made righteous by being a member of a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church, some other church of some kind. Not made righteous that way. I know that. I know he's not made righteous by his prayers, his duty, his obedience, or his faith, or his love to God. He's not made righteous that way. He might think he is, but he's not. That's not a way. That's not the way that a man is made righteous before God. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. How can a man be made righteous before God? Well, the answer is, God has made him righteous in his own way. In his own way. Not in our way. He has made us righteous in His own way. There is a way that seems right in the eyes of a man. There is a way. There's many ways in the eyes of a man that seemeth right, but they're like the blind leading the blind. They both are destroyed. They both fall and break their legs, fall in the ditch, are destroyed on the way. God has made him righteous in his own way. How do you know? Well, I know because it's revealed in the word of his grace, in the word of truth, in God's own word. We find in his word, by his own revelation, by his own inspiration, we find that he, in his sovereign mercy, his discriminating grace, has imputed to and laid upon the beloved. The beloved, by the beloved, I mean the surety. I mean the sent one. I mean the Lord Jesus Christ. He has in sovereign mercy and discriminating grace imputed to and laid upon the beloved one, the surety of the covenant, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. He's laid upon him all the sin and transgression of his people. He's laid it all upon them. How is a man made righteous before God? He's made righteous in God's own way. And that way is that he took all of our sins and transgressions and laid them upon the beloved Son of God and transferred to us all of His obedience and all of the holiness of His beloved Son. That's how we're made righteous before God. That's God's own way. And there's no other way. No other way. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And you could say that that teaches He shall make His people righteous before God. And that's the only way they can be made righteous before God. He transfers them all the obedience and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, and places it to their account as their justification before Him. So it is, they are righteous before God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Listen to what it says. It says, "But of Him are ye in Christ. But of God are ye in Christ." In Christ tonight, He's our hope. He's our hope. He's mine and I'm His. Not by works of righteousness that I've done, not by my prayers, not by my duties, not by my obedience, not by my propositions, not by my intentions, good or bad. I'm in Christ because God put me in Christ. So the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness. Is that what it says? I skipped wisdom. Are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? That according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, if I know anything about what this verse says, I can say honestly, without fear of contradiction from anyone, be he a scholar or be he ignorant, I fear no contradiction by saying, so in light of what I've said thus far, nothing belonging to you can be your righteousness. Nothing that belongs to you can be righteousness before God. Not your prayers or your tears or anything you do or don't do. Not your humility, not your prayers, not your love, or not even your faith. Oh no. But listen, on the other hand now, on the other side of this story, neither our fretfulness, neither our unbelief, neither our doubts and fears, or none of the devilish workings in our hearts can ever shake or alter our righteousness before God. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. Remember, I read to you here, I believe this morning or service or two ago, whatsoever God doeth, He does forever. Whatever He does forever. Nothing can alter.
and nothing can shake the fact and reality that it is of God that we are in Christ Jesus and made righteous before Him by imputation, by taking our sins and transgressions and laying upon Him, the sinless one, and He's going to bear the punishment that's due us against our sins, and He's going to transfer unto us all of His righteousness, and all of His holiness is going to be charged to our account. His righteousness is imputed to us, and that's how we are righteous before God and no other way. What a blessing then it is if you and I, it's a blessing now if you and I are among the righteous. Huh? Oh, listen. If we are among the number that no man can count, that comes from every tribe and tongue and nation under the sun, if we're among that number, oh, it's because we are made righteous by Jesus Christ. It's so if we're among that number. Neither sin nor Satan can overthrow it. That ought to be a comfort to you. Neither sin or Satan can overthrow what God's done in Christ for His people. All the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of His righteousness is charged to us, is imputed to our account. We stand in Him and Him alone. We're joined to Him as one. As He is, so are we. How is it that a man can be righteous before God? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, or the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, in chapter 5, maybe. Let me see. Chapter 5. No, that's not it. Maybe it is. I'm in the wrong book. Chapter 5. What does it say? Verse 21. Listen to this. You've heard this many times. For God, that He there is God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. You know what I said? How can a man be made righteous before God? Well, God took our sins. He took all that we owed. He took them and placed them on His Son. His pure, sinless, perfect Son, who was without spot or without blemish, who knew no sin. Our sins were transferred from us and laid on Him. And He bore the iniquity of us all. Now it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. The man Christ Jesus, He knew no sin. Now listen, what is the result? What is the consequence of it? It's this, that we, that's all the believers, every believer, be he big or small, every believer, regardless of the proportion of understanding and knowledge that he has, every believer, every poor soul that's been made to see by the Spirit of God that there's nothing in him that he can give or offer to gain favor with God. That in him dwelleth no good thing. That fella that stands upon that ground, and the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And that fella comes. He comes because he's aided and led by the Spirit of God. And every one of them who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's how a man is made righteous before God, is by and through his substitute, by and through his representative, by and through God's beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, listen. He's the Lord our righteousness, the Bible says. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And it also says in the book of Colossians, ye are complete in him. Nothing lacking. Well, someone says, I know, but I think this and I do that. What's that got to do with this? What's that got to do with this? Ye are complete in him. What you do has nothing to do with him. I know, but I've got to do this and I've got to do that. You got to believe on him whom God has sent. This is the work of God, that you might believe on him whom God has sent. If you want righteousness, if you want a righteousness, it'll stand you in good stead with God. He's the Lord our righteousness. We're complete in him, the Bible says. And it also says we're accepted by God in him. He does not accept us in our own persons. How could he? A holy God. How can God be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus? How can God show mercy to the poor sinner at the expense of his justice? He can't do it. Justice has got to be satisfied, and the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies justice, pays all our debts, discharges all our liabilities, and makes us accepted in his own person. We ever live before God in him. Those that are righteous before God are freely justified by his grace through the redemption, the Bible says, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, they are justified and completely acquitted in him. Completely acquitted. There's no doubt. So that no charge, the Bible says, can be brought against them. They are so righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ that neither fallen angels and the devil and all the wicked, evil elements of this world combined as one can ever, ever lay a charge against him whom God has made righteous. And that's the truth. So help me God. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is it? Who is it? Oh, people can charge you down here. They can lay charges against you down here where it don't count. It don't count down here. It's up there that counts. And who up there can lay any charge against God's elect? Oh, no. Well, so those that are righteous in him before God are made so in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're members of His own body. They're in union with Him as the vine and the branches. In union with Him, vital union with Him. And all that He is, and all that He has as the head of the church, is charged to and put upon them that God makes righteous before the throne. Huh? Oh, when a man's soul is brought to know that he is righteous before God in Christ, His substitute, when he's brought to know that now, listen, when he's brought to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, when the Spirit of God shows him and teaches him from the Word that he is righteous before God forever and forever. It's an everlasting righteousness. It cannot be altered. It cannot be shaken. When he's brought to know this, he does not want to be justified before God in any other way. Now you take that home with you. You believe that. When a man sees this truth that I'm talking about, how a man can be righteous before God, when he sees it, when God teaches it to him, then ask him if he wants to be justified before God some other way. And he'll say, no. Oh, no. There's no other way. All that's left up to me. God could never dwell in this black heart of mine. Oh, no. My soul. All right, one more thing then about this and I'll quit. What is it that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that a man's righteous before God? What is the proof of it? You've done a lot of talk about it. But how can you prove this? Well, I've already proved it. But let me say this, though, in light of that. What proves a man to be righteous before God is whenever the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Now, when God the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of a poor sinner, and he takes possession of the affections of his soul, when he does that, such a person, that he does that too, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in him, takes possession of his affections, that person is a righteous man. That person is a righteous man. For the Spirit of God never works contrary to the Father, and He never works contrary to the Son. They are in complete harmony and unity. And whenever He enters the heart, He causes the soul to see its barrenness, its wretchedness, its weakness, and its nothingness. When the Holy Spirit takes possession of a man's soul, He causes him to see his nothingness before God. Nothingness in himself. Now, if a man knows nothing of what I've already mentioned here, of this nothingness, of this barrenness, this wretchedness, this corruption, this pollution, if he knows nothing of this, he has no more proof of God dwelling in his heart than a beast does in the open field. When spiritual light begins to shine on the Word and into the heart of a poor sinner, it is only then, when that poor sinner discovers what human nature is. And that's the problem with the majority religion of our day. They do not know the depravity of human nature. If someone shoots three or four people or something awful happens, the question arises, and it arises from and is produced by human nature. And the question is, why did a man do a thing like that? I didn't think anybody was capable Well, he does not know anything about human nature. Human nature can do anything. Did you know it was human nature that drove the spikes in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's human nature. If human nature will kill God, it'll do anything. That's how bad we are. You ever get to know how bad you are, what you really are, what you are in your heart, how black and corrupt it is, and you discover what human nature is, and you'll only discover that as the Holy Spirit takes the Word, and that Spirit of God shines on that Word upon your heart and reveals unto you how bad human nature is. Instead of seeing any evidence in a man's being as to whether he's a righteous man, he'll cry out, "How can God dwell in such a heart as mine? Such a dark place, such a damp place, such a place where God is not revered and not reverenced, and God is not spoke and thought of in a godly way. How could God dwell in a heart like mine?" Oh, listen. A man whom the Holy Spirit has taken up his dwelling place in, he sees so much of what there is in flesh and blood that he's astonished by all of it. He says, "Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. The only way I could believe it is to hear God say that's the way it is." And that's what God says. That's the way it is. He's astonished. He sees himself from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, a mass of corruption and pollution and a mass of sin. And this is what he finds out. And this is what the majority of the religionists in our day have not found out. Until you find this out, you'll never be sick of yourself. But when you discover and find out that there is no good thing in this flesh, when you find that out, that there's no good thing that dwelleth in this flesh, Pat. When a man finds that out, that is the result of the Spirit of God working in him, and he becomes sick of himself. And he'll flee to him whom to know is life eternal. And that's how a man can prove he is righteous before God. In the knowledge of who he is, that he's far off from God, that he's lost before God for the lack of a righteousness conformable to the demands of God. In the knowledge of this, he will be led all the days of his life. He'll always find that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. He can't go beyond that stage. He cannot make such remarkable growth and improvement in himself that he can find any good thing in his flesh. And he becomes sick of himself. And it's at this point when God is pleased to display his glory. The Bible says, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." He that humbleth himself. The Bible says, "The Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the lowly." When the soul is cast down, then grace raises it up. I say this, a full Christ for an empty sinner. A full Christ for an empty sinner. When you're emptied of self, then you're a fit vessel for a full Christ. A Christ that is so full that he's done all that's needful and necessary and all that's required. He's your all in all. He's your good shepherd. He's your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's your He's your justification before God. He's your sin bearer. He's your lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And He's your righteousness before God. That's all you got. It's in Him, and it's before God. Full Christ for an empty sinner. The Holy Spirit dwelling in such a righteous soul will teach him and show him that all his prayers and all of his tears, with all the energy that he can muster up, can never produce one good thing in him that would cause God to look in his direction or cause God to show him favor. Huh? Not one good thing in him that would merit God's sovereign, discriminating grace and God's sovereign mercy. Have you ever found out about that commandment that Paul talks about? He says this commandment, he said it was ordained to life. He said, I found it to be unto death. That's what Paul said. Have you found it to be so? Have God ever killed you yet? Has God ever laid you low? The Bible says the letter killeth. The law kills, but the Spirit giveth life. Has He ever killed you? They have to kill you in the process of time if you're ever going to stand before Him clothed in His righteousness. You'll have to be sick as sick. The Bible says, cursed is everything that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Did that ever kill you? Huh? When it kills a man, he finds out he can do nothing. Have you ever found out you can't do nothing? When you find that out, you're on the road to death. You can't do nothing. Oh, when a man finds that out, he'll be completely cured of going about to establish his own righteousness, which is of the law, not faith. Warning. That'll cure him of that disease. He'll quit it. Huh? He will be shown that there's no righteousness nor ability to save in any other but in Him and Him alone. And when the text here that I read to you in Psalm 64, verse 10, where it says that they will always be glad. You know what it says? Read that. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. Well, it doesn't say that they'll always be glad in the Lord, does it? It doesn't say that they'll always be happy in the Lord. It doesn't say that they'll always rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't say that. Listen, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Doesn't it say that? It also says, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You have down days. Not always going to be happy. When your children die, you won't be happy. When your husband dies, well, some of you will be happy, maybe. I don't think you will be, but you'll be down. Be by yourself. Thinking about the nursing home. Think about, well, who's going to do the work now? What am I going to do? How am I going to get around? My children's are far off. All that. You won't be so happy. But I'll tell you this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, He has a way of delivering us out of them all. He knoweth the way we take, and when we come forth, we shall give. How can a man be righteous before God? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sent one, coming, establishing righteousness by His obedience and satisfying holiness and justice and becoming our sin bearer and bear our punishment
that's rightly due us, bearing it away and imputing to us all of His righteousness and all of His holiness, charging that to our account. And He ever lives. He ever lives before God to intercede for us. And we stand in Him. We stand in Him now. We're joined to Him in this vital union that cannot be severed. We're there in Him. And He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, and we're in Him. We're safe as God can make us safe. He can't make us any safer than this. We're in the ark. We're in Christ. Unshakable. Can't be altered. We're there forever. Blessed be His name. Thank God for this so great salvation. It's not of us. It's all of Him. And unto Him be glory.